Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, the first episode of 2020. I'm your host, Brandon Reeve, joined always by our main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, good evening, Brandon Reeve and Crossroads fam. How are we doing tonight?
Good. We beat the holidays and the first radio show of 2020.
Yeah, man, I'm excited, man. We've been doing shows a little sparingly here in the new year and until in last year, but now business about to pick up. So I'm ready to talk some sports tonight.
Absolutely, we've got a big show tonight. We've got college football we're talking about. We've got NFL playoffs, NFL news and notes. We've got some NBA updates. The Indiana Pacers making some news. College basketball. Nick Peterson with our bracketologist will be joining us about 7:45 tonight. We're going to talk his bracket right now. We're going to talk the state of the Big Ten Conference itself, our local teams here, Indiana, Purdue, and Butler, and as well as kind of the national teams. So, big show ahead. John, let's start right off. Let's start with college football. We've got the there's one big game left, and it's the versus Clemson. I'll say that you called it. You had both games as we talked on Facebook Live, both teams facing each other. What are you expecting with this matchup between these two?
Kind of like I alluded to last week, LSU's been blowing everybody out for the most part, embarrassing big name teams, embarrassed kind of, you know what I'm saying, and you know. They especially Oklahoma, right? You know, Oklahoma wasn't even in the game. I expect that. But I expect with Clemson being and Dabo Sweeney being the veteran coach here, or the elder coach here, I expected the game to be closer. I know the resume of Clemson doesn't look as good as the resume of LSU, but they are the champs. And like I said, Dabo's had this particular program in this position before, and seemingly. Where odds were kind of like outmatched against Alabama and heck, then they come out on the in the winning favor. So, I really expect a close game. I got the Tigers from Clemson winning though.
Ooh, wow! I didn't know. Yeah, I like that. You got the Tigers winning. Yeah, of course. I think, like you said, I think it'll be a matchup of two great teams. Clemson. They had their first real battle test with Ohio State. LSU, they've had a lot more battle tests all season. With that, I think LSU still has the better team. That being said, I'm actually going to go with LSU, these Tigers, to win the national championship. So we've got a split vote for the Natty, which is great. So anyway, should be a great game. Spread is at 5.5. For some people, I snagged it up at 3.5. So we'll see what happens with that. But should be a good game Monday night. It's a late one, Jonathan. You're going to get your afternoon nap in.
Yeah, a big power nap for me. I'll be coming in about 12:30, 1 o'clock. But yeah, I'll be up for it. It's gonna be an epic game. It's gonna be some future standouts that'll make it to the next level. That we'll get to see in this game. I don't know if the Colts will be able. I don't know if any of the local teams who we cheer and root for are getting the talent on these two teams coming out this year. But yeah, like I said, I think it's not going to be a blowout like everybody assumes it to be.
Okay. Let's dive into the NFL. We've got the NFL playoffs divisional round this weekend. We've got the Vikings, Minnesota, knocking off the Saints.
Well,
John,
we got to talk about. who got? Well, okay, we're going to talk about knocking off the Saints. We're going to talk off talking about knocking off Tom Brady first. We're going to save that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll save that one. So we've got the Vikings who knocked off New Orleans. Kirk Cousins, are you a believer now?
Big game. Not necessarily. Big game. Finally, Kirk Cousins won a game with, you know what I'm saying, where everything was kind of on the marbles and it was crucial. And it was up kind of up to him to make a play. And he made a play. And he after the game, you know, he kind of, I don't know if you have the sound bite or not, man, but yeah, he kind of was feeling the moment. And as critical as a sportscaster or a newscaster might be, man, you kind of feel for the guy. He has not come up and he hasn't necessarily had his one shiny moment as it pertains to his career. He's got a lot of contracts. You know what I'm saying? That'll blow your mind away. You know, he's a $200 million man, I think. If you look up his career earnings or something crazy like that, but like he necessarily hasn't had the W's in the critical times, critical moments. So definitely critical moment on the road against the Saints, and they advance. So you kind of have to tip your hat to him. And like, yeah, believer? No, man. But I am happy for him. Not necessarily believer, though. Not just yet.
Sean Payton. A lot have been talks about him about. He's this great coach. Everybody's got him on this pedestal, but he can't win the big games besides the one that he got against the Colts.
Well, that's just crazy, man. But it's like oxymoron statement. He can't win the big games, but he won the big game. So maybe, sometimes it's better. Everybody wants to have this Bill Belichick-like career or Tom Brady-like career, either from a coach standpoint or as a player. In this aspect, we're talking about a coach standpoint. Sean Payton's been the, you know what I'm saying, he's been the rock there with the New Orleans Saints, man. Some games, you're going to have tough gears. As a Steelers fan, I know you know that. Sometimes it looks like you're going to the Super Bowl. Sometimes you might have the highest ranked offense or the second highest, whatever. I think they're in top three. I think the Saints were in top three in our total offense. Thought mm-hmm. and you know what I'm saying, of course, and then Drew Brees broke all the Peyton Manning records this year, or broke the one record this year. I know they were high expectations for the Saints to get to the Super Bowl this year, especially after some of the past previous years of drama and fiascos, right? But sometimes, man, the other team across the field from you is a little bit hotter. It comes a little bit better than you, and that's kind of what exactly what happened. Do I think that makes Sean Payton a lesser of a coach because he got his players got out-dueled on this particular Sunday or Saturday rather? No, it doesn't. So is it time for Sean Payton to move on? I don't know. I don't know if that's what you kind of allude to. Like but who's coming in to lead this team or to lead Drew Brees into hit the twilight at the very end of his career? I don't know. I think Sean Payton, they kind of go out on their own terms, those particular two. Anyway,
I agree. I wasn't saying that he would needs to leave or anything, but I think we need to knock Sean Payton down a pedestal from what a lot of people are putting him at because he's lost. He's made some bad coaching decisions in three straight years, and they've lost in the wild card game when they shouldn't have. Or a divisional game against the Rams, so or conference championship, excuse me. But it's, I'm just saying, maybe we need to back off on how great of a coach he really is my thing. So,
okay.
Looking at the other matchups, we've got the Titans, the Patriots. They're going to go up against Baltimore. John, Tennessee. Are you more of a believer now?
Got to be a believer in their defense. That's the darn sure. Got to be a believer in their defense. Something that they've quietly kind of built up. The Colts, who probably, you know, for at least from my lens, we've got to see Tennessee up close and personal. So if you have a special quarterback, you know what I'm saying, with some special wideouts, you can kind of beat their defense. But, like, I think now their defense has matured, has it not? You know, and then now they've kind of at least brought in a capable quarterback where, like, now they're not on a roller coaster of, like, is Mariota going to be hot this week? they still got a role. They still got an up and down quarterback, but at least he's more consistent than Mariota was for them in the previous two seasons. Correct. Mm-hmm. So you know, Brandon, that's wild stuff, man. That's like historic stuff. You know what I'm saying? Going on the road. I mean, beating the Patriots, beating Tom Brady, beating Bill Belichick. Yes, the student come back and beat the Jedi Master, Bill Belichick. More believer to beat the Baltimore Ravens. That's who they got to play.
Yep.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They won't. It's a different. Like it's now the one up because they, you know, they didn't necessarily blow out the Patriots. You know, and then with playing against Baltimore, you're gonna have to be able to score. I don't care how good your defense is. Your defense is gonna get tired trying to keep up with Baltimore's offense. Baltimore has the offense that, dude, it's like Michael Vick met the St. Louis Rams, Super Bowl Rams on steroids, right? That's how it is. Mm-hmm. If the receivers ain't open or the running back ain't open, he's open, you know. But they don't have a shot at beating. They don't have a shot at beating the Ravens.
Okay, I agree. I think Ravens roll in this game. Offense, defense, too much. Could be sloppy weather conditions as well in Baltimore for this game, but should be at least a good one. Anytime the Patriots aren't in it, though, I'll take it. And yeah, it's going to be good to see some new blood.
But the drama isn't the drama just down just a little bit now that the Patriots are out of it. The drama's just down just a little bit. Who do you root against now? Because I have
the
no
Packers.
Oh wow! I don't think Craig's gonna like you know our listener family. You know, say a good buddy Craig Ryan. I don't think he's gonna like enjoy saying that. But come on, the Packers. We're gonna root against the Packers. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers. He's uppity. He's an uppity quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other teams you would hate. I mean, you don't hate the Vikings. You don't hate the Niners. You don't hate Tennessee. You don't hate the Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, Seahawks, Packers.
San Francisco's out there.
Enough to hate them.
Okay. Okay.
Personally, I'm against the Ravens. I don't want the Ravens to win.
From the standpoint, I understand. Right.
So, yeah. So we'll see there. Looking at the other matchup in the AFC, we got the Houston Texans who came back from dead on life support against the Buffalo Bills, who had no business to win that game. They're going to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. John, what was your thoughts on that? Just a quick thought, since the week's almost over already, between the Texans and the Buffalo Bills, how that ended.
Kind of how I alluded to what I said about that. I didn't think Buffalo has enough. Buffalo has a great defense, and Buffalo does have a very competent quarterback, but he's not in his full peak of his maturity just yet. They don't have enough offense to beat. They don't have enough offense to beat the Texans. They did not.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, I thought for three quarters we saw the same old Houston Texans that they get in the playoffs, they have a home playoff game, and then they just crap the bed. Can't do nothing with it. So
that's gonna be on O'Brien to make the adjustment for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. So Texans against the Chiefs, John. Are you giving Houston even a minimal chance?
You have to, because Andy Reid and his defense is porous. So yes, you are giving them a chance, man, to pull out a victory against the particular team. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Hold on, Brad.
Okay. Let's see here. Let me get on the phone. We got a caller, my guy. Sweet Lou, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you?
All right, and Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year to you as well. What you got on the board tonight?
You really think Clemson has a chance against Joe Burrow and LSU? I mean, really. If Burrow has anything like his performance in the championship game, I think it's going to be a very long and painful night for Clemson.
John, what you got on that? He might not be there. I'll tell you this.
I'm sorry. What I got on? Go ahead.
Sweet Lou is challenging your pick of Clemson. He doesn't understand how you can pick Clemson.
They've been there before. Who's got the most? Who was Joe Burrow last year, Sweet Lou? Who was Joe Burrow last year? Did you know
him? Yeah, he wasn't there last year, but still, I mean, he has done. Look what he's done. I mean, he probably run Clemson. I think it's going to be lost.
Okay.
I mean, Burrow was just unstoppable. I mean, you saw his performance in the semifinals. Nobody could touch him. 8 touchdowns.
Who's he playing?
It's pretty hard.
Oklahoma?
To, you know.
They were playing Oklahoma. They weren't playing nobody. They wouldn't play anybody.
I tell you this, Sweet Lou. I agree with you. I've got LSU. I think they win. I don't think it's a route. I don't think it's a route, but
no.
I think they get it done.
I wouldn't say it's going to be a
this.
Route, but
I will say Joe Burrow, there were some passes in that game against Oklahoma that he just kind of threw it up there. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a 50-50 ball. I mean, we could be – imagine if half of that went the other way. We'd be thinking a different tune of Joe Burrow.
Listen, the Big 12 is about getting their coaches $60 and $70 million contracts. Not necessarily about competing for national championships. They were out. Oklahoma was out. Oklahoma was outmatching that particular game, man. I'm not hating totally on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's probably going to be 2 or 3 in this particular NFL draft coming up, and I think Joe Burrow's actually going to have a pretty good game. I just think Dabo Sweeney and them Clemson,
mm-hmm.
this particular program, this particular regime, being in this position again, we'll figure out a way to win this particular game. I know, again, they playing against the ACC, Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech of the world does not, you know what I'm saying, raise the eyebrows of any football fan.
Yeah.
But they beat Ohio State, you can't – that was an impressive victory right there. So I think they'll beat LSU.
Okay. What else you got, Lou?
Hmm. Yeah, and of course, the Bengals are going to get the first pick. Well, good luck with that, because they're going to need all the luck they can get from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bengals have been absolutely horrendous. I'm not too crazy about the Giants pick as the coach, Judge.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about him.
Joe Judge. Oh, wow.
Sounds like
Joe Brown.
Sounds like he belongs on ABC at 12:00.
Man,
yeah,
like a court
Judge
TV
Joe Brown.
Kind of guy, man. I don't know about Joe Judge, man. He was the wide receivers coach from off of whose particular team? Off the Patriots team. The wide receivers coach, man. That's interesting, man. They don't. That's what they kind of needed this year, wide receivers. So how good were their wide receivers this year? It's just a head scratcher. That's just a head scratcher. And I know somewhere down the line, Joe Judge was also on the family tree of Alabama or Nick Saban or something like that. But like once he left Alabama, you would come up to be an OC or a defensive coordinator or somebody up in the booth, not a wide out coach. Man, I'm like, man, all these other candidates out here, surely somebody was more better than Joe Judge. But this is who the Giants had picked. And yet again, I thought it was a little preemptive of them firing the coach they had.
Shermer.
Yeah.
Well, Schumer wasn't doing anything. I mean, they had their worst season over 40 years with Schumer, so that was the right choice.
You gotta have the good, as a former Giants quarterback said when he was not with the Giants. You gotta have the good to get to win the games. You know, I know the Giants removed a lot of their egos out of the locker room with Odell being removed, right? But what did they what did they have to? What did they necessarily get in return? And then again, you know what, Lou and Brandon, we knew they could have got Joey Dimes later on in the draft. Didn't they kind of pop their wire a little early? Picking Joey Dimes. They could have filled up more. I mean, I'm not saying Joey Dimes is not any good. There's light at the end of the tunnel with that particular Duke quarterback, but I think they could have got him later on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I agree.
I Yeah, but I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout Monday night, but if Clemson doesn't, you know, do anything early, it could be a long night.
Okay. Could okay. be. It very much could be. Lou, do you want to give your plug?
Yes, I would, because we have some changes to the show now, actually, so I thought I'd bring that up. We're now on an hour earlier. We're starting at 5 o'clock Eastern time, 5 to 7 now, still on Saturdays. We have a new number as well to mention for the show, and that number is 512-543-4662.
Okay.
Because we're now using a new service. We're now using Uber.
Uber. Interesting.
That's right. We're using Uber.
May have to look into that.
You might want to do that. Now, you're in the Eastern time zone, right?
Yes, sir.
Or is your part of Indiana the ones that go central?
No, we're the normal Eastern.
Good. All right, then it's going to be 5 to 7 for you as well.
Okay.
For those of you who are in that crazy border shift of the hour earlier, then it's 4 to 6.
Okay.
5 to 7 All right. Eastern. If you're on the other side of the state, 4 to 6.
Perfect. Thanks, Sweet Lou. Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, John. That was Sweet Lou. Good to hear Sweet Lou beginning of the year.
Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. He was ready to go as soon as the show started. I was like, we gotta get a little bit going before we get him on. He was on before you.
I think anybody that calls tonight is gonna be. I definitely gonna be in the minority on my take on Clemson, man. Nobody believes in Clemson, but I'm trying to tell you, man, that was when he's gonna have these guys prepared for sure.
Well, being prepared is one thing. Executing is another, John. You know that.
They'll execute. I like – hey, man, how can you root against anybody in this game? You kind of got to like Ed Orgeron, you know, you kind of got to like Joe Burrow and his story. Because it is a good story, you know, kind of how to end up at LSU, the transfer or whatever. He was a transfer from Ohio State of all places, right?
Right.
And, turn his cards in to a damn Heisman Trophy. So yeah, it's actually a damn good story. Now he's gonna be the next step of his career. He's gonna be a daggone first round draft pick. So yeah, but yeah, man.
Okay.
I don't know. It's gonna be great, like you said, Brandon. It's gonna be a great game. I'm trying to hammer it home.
Looking at the last game. The Seattle Seahawks with Beast Mode back in the fold.
Oh,
had to take on the Cheeseheads in Green Bay.
Man, I don't think the forecast is necessarily a frozen tundra this particular weekend, but and I know you're rooting against the Packers. Beast Mode is a piece of work, man, for him to come off, basically come off the couch and to set up some rushing duties. For the Seahawks, man, it's kind of, you know, saying kind of crazy, man. But no, man, I think this particular Seahawks team is missing too much on the injury side, and it's not necessarily that this particular Packers team is on a team of destiny that they're going to get to the NFC Championship game. I just think they're just a little bit, you know, saying especially at home. I think they're a little bit head and shoulders of the Seahawks, and I think Aaron Rodgers and Team Green and Cheesehead win.
Okay, yeah, I think Green Bay gets it done. I don't want to lose my fan base over there, but I don't have a problem with the Cheeseheads. I just think that if there's a chance for people to bet it or to root against teams, it's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Does he have to win another? Is he a better quarterback
there.
Than is he better? Is he better quarterback than Brett Favre? I'll throw a pot up.
No.
Oh, they're about even. Right now they're even. What'd you say?
No.
Oh, wow. So you're saying Favre is still better than Aaron Rodgers?
Give me to a second Super Bowl and we'll talk.
Okay, because Favre did make it to two Super Bowls. Okay, I guess.
Back to back, I believe.
Yeah, back to back, lost Elway. But yeah, okay, all right. Damn, man, so. Aaron Rodgers. They say he's a bad man. They
What's
say
he done?
A bad man. He won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy.
Okay. So Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers ain't been back to the Super Bowl in quite a while.
Yeah, he beat my Steelers.
Yeah, right, they did.
Yeah, and it wasn't – the Steelers were coming back in that game. If it wasn't late interference and then a touchdown, it would have been a Steelers comeback there, but not that I'm salty. All right, John, let's look at a little bit – a couple coaching positions here. The Panthers hire Baylor's Matt Rhule. Big money deal. 6 years, how many million? 60?
It's still rumored like it might be some type of incentives like going into like $70 million, man, for a guy. He is a football brainiac. That's not just poo-poo that. It's just that because the NFL has been trying to get him to come over for like the past two seasons, and, you know, he's just saying his time's not right and whatever. And he took a no-nothing Temple team to a bowl game. He took a 1-11 Baylor team who had to basically, you know, say no scholarships or whatever, and took them back to prominence in the Big 12, you know, saying play the last several seasons. So, excuse me. So, like, now people kind of assume that he was going to take the Giants job because he is kind of the part of the food chain of the family tree of Tom Coughlin somehow. If you look it up on Wikipedia, sorry, I don't have time to break it down for everybody. But yeah, that was the job that he was kind of eyeing. Well, you know, the Giants went in another direction, and the Carolina Panthers made him an offer he couldn't refuse. So they expect that he's a, like I said, he's got a high level football IQ. Whether he can translate or you know, dumb down, because there's a lot of rah-rahness that comes along with being a head coach in a college football program. There's also a lot of, you know, professionalism that they have guys doing, but, you know, you don't necessarily have the pick of the litter. You know what I'm saying? You have a lot of great talent when you're a head coach of an NFL team, but you don't necessarily have the guys that you want until you get your total guys in, right, with free agency and whatnot. Well, when you go through that, or when you go through a draft or whatever. So it's not like he's, you know, some rules going to the, you know what I'm saying, to the cupboard with nothing, because, like, he has a quarterback. They're going to
right.
Resign Cam. You know what I'm saying? He has running back. But, you know what I'm saying, the team won't be able to fill all the holes. And his team, all the players who've dealt with probably, you know what I'm saying, Ron Rivera for quite some time, who was a player in the league, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody. I think it's going to be an adjustment for everybody. But if he can get people to buy into his system, I think we'll see some success out of it. I
okay.
really do. I think he's that. I think that much of a football, you know what I'm saying, IQ kind of guy, high level.
Okay. Well, don't adjust your headsets. You're talking about adjusting.
Uh-oh.
Don't adjust your headphones.
What's going on?
But we got John. We got the King of Trolls on now.
Uh-oh.
Reggie Sykes.
Uh-oh.
Who?
Come on in.
Hey, Happy New Year. Happy holidays and all that to y'all.
Reggie, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I've been trying to retire from trolling, man, but it just keeps calling my name in my poopy voice, man. I've been trying to retire, man. It makes me troll, man.
I saw the latest a few minutes ago, the Anthony Davis injury prone.
Look, what did I tell you at the beginning of the season? He wasn't going to play a complete season, you know, and when it boils down to it, you just have AD and you have James, and the bench is garbage. And even though they've been playing a whole lot better lately here, I think in the playoffs, it's going to matter. Your bench matters, you know. So I just don't see the Lakers as a championship team. I see them as contenders, but I don't see them winning at all.
Red, they're getting ready to get Darren Collison.
Get who?
Man, Frank Vogel about to bring the whole old team back together. They about to get Darren Collison, and there's rumor of, like, Eagle Dollar getting a buyout finally from Memphis and going over there.
Yeah, I didn't hear that rumor.
Would that change your opinion then?
Yeah, it'll take them from a fifth seed to a second or third. Now, I don't know. It's still take them. It'll still take teams a second to they're learning new teammates, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you got to see how it's going to work out. You know, just like, you know, Boston's playing Philadelphia tonight, and I heard him talking about how Joel Embiid and Al Horford wasn't working out because Joel Embiid take up too much of the floor, you know. You need to you actually don't know how things are going to work until the players actually get on the floor.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's a perfect case. I think that's a perfect case for here when Oladipo gets back on the court with Indiana. How is he going to gel with Warren and Brock? Minutes, Jeremy Lamb's minutes are going to go down. So, how are they going to gel together? I think it'll take a few games to get them to gel.
I think that'll probably take about a week and a half. I think everybody's gonna because they're gonna load managing. He's not gonna play back to back games. He's probably gonna be limited to 15 to 10 minutes the first night back. So. It's going to take longer, I think, to jail than if he was playing every night. So I think it's going to work out. I think the guy that's going to probably get his minutes cut the most is going to probably be Aaron Holiday and Edin Sumner, unless there's some more injuries. Because I just say that because T.J. McConnell is just playing so well right now, you know. I just could see those two getting their minutes cut. But it's nice to have that luxury of all these guys able to fit in, and they're playing while people are hurt. You know, we may not be winning some of those games, but they're understanding each other, and they're playing together as a team. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting.
Hey, Reg, I know back in the day when you were playing ball and you were trash-talking, you ever had to blow a kiss to somebody during trash talking when you're getting ready to scuffle?
Well, I wasn't really a shit sucker because I wasn't really that good. And my balling skills consist of pickup games and a work league. But I will talk some shit. I messed out there too, though. But no, I never blew a kiss to nobody. And I never got into it because I understood my role in the game was to rebound, foul, and pass the ball to a shooter. So,
what was your take on those comments last night?
Man, that diva, Jimmy Butler, man, he's just a diva. He was mad because T.J. Warren was killing him. T.J. Warren is not – if you look at the score, Warren was not scoring him at that point of the game. I think Butler only wound up with 14 points. You know, I mean, he orchestrated some key plays. The Pacers were just missing shots last night. I was at the game. And they were just missing shots. You got to get a game or two like that, you know. But I really like how this is really developing into a rivalry again. T.J. made some good comments today. He said, you know, in the heat of the moment, I'm not going back down, you know. Everybody want to win. He said, I'm anxious to play now, you know. So he's looking forward to playing tomorrow. So, you know, Jimmy Butler isn't the reason why that team is playing so good right now. I see two or three other people that are just really, really balling. Just balling. I mean,
Jonathan Bersong's boy, Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo.
Yes.
They got Lil Ken Dunn. They got some hoopers on that team, man. Pat Riley did his homework this year.
Man, they got some shooters on that team.
Duncan Robinson from Michigan. Oh, that dude don't miss.
Oh man. Hey man, that's team ball. You know, I think team ball is gonna eventually beat one or two dominant players in the NBA. Even though the Heat lost to the Lakers earlier in this year, you know, I don't like them, but I got to give them credit. They're playing hell of a good ball right now.
Okay.
What
else you got, John?
You know,
I want to know who Red got in that championship game.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Jonathan, I'm going to take your pit. You put it on my Facebook page. The Tigers.
That's the safest thing.
I want to take Clemson just because my son is a big LSU fan. And, you know, I went to college in Louisiana, and there's a lot of LSU fans on my Facebook page. And, you know, I really want to kind of troll them. But, man, it's hard. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be LSU's wide receivers against Clemson's defensive back. Man, I just don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, who are you guys taking?
I took Clemson.
And I took LSU. So, there you go.
I'm going to have to go with you. I'm going to go with LSU. And it's going to be a squeaker. And I wouldn't even be surprised if we went in overtime.
Yeah, I think it's just they play a lot more better competition. They've had closer games. Mm-hmm. While LSU only really had the one against Ohio State. And I guess you could say North Carolina, but come on. Football. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, it should be a great game Monday.
But Clemson may come in the game motivated because their coach has been preaching this all year. Oh, they counting us out. You know, we undefeated. They disrespecting the champs. You know, they disrespecting us. They counting us out. They expect us to lose. You know, he's going to play that up to his team, and I would too big time. They counting y'all out. Y'all some bums. They said y'all wouldn't be here. I would play it up. I would be preaching it to them right now, and the game ain't until Monday. I would preach
right.
it to them every day, all day. So, you
right.
know, that's so sometimes, you know, a hype man will win you a championship.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting.
Red, you still you still trolling on Twitter? Are you still trolling on Twitter? Can anybody reach you? Can anybody hit you on your Twitter handle?
Yes, they can. I'm starting to figure Twitter out a little bit. I'm not trolling as much on Twitter as I am on Facebook, but I'm getting better at Twitter. I'm getting better at Twitter.
What's your handle? I don't know if you want to give out your Facebook page handle. You can if you want. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle, what is my Twitter handle?
You can't even.
R.R. Sykes. R.R. Sykes. Yeah, that's it. It's
all good.
We'll
reteach you into this show. We'll be posted. We'll reteach you into the show.
Okay. Well, I always enjoy talking. Brandon, I want to apologize to you, man.
Apology. Play the music, Brandon.
Yeah.
I know, right?
The Browns didn't beat your Steelers, but we both sitting on the couch looking in at the playoffs. So, you know, I wanted to apologize to you because I just knew the Browns were just going to dominate this year, and they didn't. So I want to apologize to you because you called that. You said I was really giving them more credit than what they deserve. So, yeah. So
I appreciate that, Reg.
For that, buddy.
I appreciate that. I'll probably be the only one I'll get all year, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
Can I talk to you guys
one more time before I get off the phone with y'all?
Yeah.
I think three of us should get together and go to Shelbyville Casino during NCAA Final Four that Thursday and that Friday in the morning and make some bets. And, you know, the TVs in there are great. We can watch every game, make some bets and everything. I think we should get together and do that that Thursday and that Friday.
Hey, I'm down.
We'll figure it out.
I don't know. We'll get it figured out. We'll plan it out.
I'm with it.
Well,
let me
know
something. We got to get together and do something. You can outboss a Stella.
I got you. Let's do it. Just let me know the details.
All right, John, that's Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls.
King of Trolls, R. Sykes.
New year.
Twitter.
New year. Nope, not as much trolling. He doesn't know his Twitter handle. John, you put him on the spot there.
It's all good. We'll figure it out.
And I about fell out of my chair when I started getting an apology. Holy cow.
Oh, man, Reggie, like I said, man, Reggie's got a big heart, man. When he knows, you know, something's wrong, man, he'll make amends to it, man.
Absolutely. So, man, that was perfect. All right, we've got our man joining us here shortly. Nick Peterson's going to talk about bracketology. Tonight's show, we'll probably go about an hour for tonight's show. So, 8 o'clock, 8:05, we'll probably finish up this evening. John, real quick before he gets on, let's talk. And I ain't going to waste my time right now on the Cleveland Browns because we are already in the coach.
They don't know who's going to be the coach.
Yeah, no chance. So I'm gonna pass over that because I do want your thoughts on the Cavaliers. First, you have Kevin Love acting like a baby. And then Boeheim, who now people are starting to think maybe he's in over his head. He called his players playing like a bunch of thugs when he said he's meant to say slugs.
He meant to say they wasn't playing together as a unit. They was playing a lot of street ball, and that's kind of what happens with a lot of a young team. That's kind of why Kevin Love is freaking out, man, because he's a veteran and he got a bunch of young guys that don't know really how to play together as a team. And you got to even though you know, saying he's an older guy, you got a young coach, newer to the NBA, who's trying to take the job seriously, who takes that the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers are yet again going to be in the lottery. But guess what, Brandon? You don't want to necessarily be a terrible team going into lottery. You want to be a team that got to win. They actually, you know what I'm saying, is going somewhere. So, was it slip of the tongue? I think it was. I think it was just the wrong synonym to say, a thug. He meant to say we are playing terrible, you know. Mm-hmm. And then of course that gets compounded because we are in a very world where everything, you know, saying gets compounded and retweeted, and everybody has to kind of talk about it, and it has to get exploded, and we have to see if it's racial or not, and it's not. It's totally not. You know, but we had to make sure that nobody was offended. And hopefully none of the players were offended. And hopefully they kind of, honestly, they take it as a challenge to them and try to win some games, man. You know, try to win some games. I know we got a little bit minute. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? I can't believe they ran LeBron James out of town, however you want to slice it. They ran LeBron James out of town, right? They got tired of winning. That's how you can look at that. That's how you can read that story, too. They got tired of being on TV every freaking Sunday, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now this is what happens. This is the after effect. That particular owner thinks he knows better how to team build and put together and whatnot. And I'm not saying they're cursing or anything like that. But at some point, you know what I'm saying, young teams, the league is going to get younger and younger, man. Guys are going to come out 1 year, 2 years, or whatever, and the league is going to get younger and younger. But at some point, man, I just hope guys aren't just collecting checks. I hope guys are taking – Reggie, and we all kind of joked about Jimmy Butler in his mouth. I kind of like Jimmy Butler's mouth. Jimmy Butler's mouth says that he's at least serious about his, you know what I'm saying, $19 or $23 million check that he checks every year. He plays hard. He thinks about playing hard. He thinks about winning. That's what you want from your athletes. You don't want just, the coach called us thugs because we out here playing like uncontrollable basketball one-on-one and not together as a unit. Yeah, that's what he kind of meant to say. Not necessarily thugs like you guys are in jail or you got your pants sagging or, you know what I mean? Not like that. Mm-hmm. So I hope as a team and, it, you know saying, they can move past it. And hopefully we can say, hey, man, maybe we can buy into what the coach is saying. Because, look, they've won 10 games. They've won 10 games. And they are all professionals. They all were somebodies when they left school or when they left the G League. They all were somebodies. Come on. Then show me what you got. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I didn't think of it as when I first heard. When he said thugs at first, I just thought it was just another, he called him it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't consider the word thugs as a black thing, a white thing, a brown thing, or a yellow thing, or a pink thing. It's, mm-hmm. to me, it was just, I think it's because possibly because the league is a more predominantly black and international league than it is a white league, that those comments, I can see where it can be skewed that way a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you said, just a poor choice of words and got fumbled up in it. And he's lost control of the locker room, John, too. I mean, besides the slip up.
Right. Kevin Love being that demonstrative on court. Like, that's something you have to handle in the locker room. But like, Kevin Love spazzed out on court because, you know, whoever was pounding the ball. I don't think it was Western Garland. I think it was the other guard, the kid from Alabama. You know what I'm saying? He was pounding the ball on the court. Here they're trying to run a play, and he's not paying attention or he's not running the play fast enough. Kevin Love, however, I know he's a joke. You know, I know his footnote to like, hey man, he was also on a championship level team, but Kevin, he is a professional man. He's played for professional winning basketball, and he ain't out there necessarily for his health. So he's
you know,
to right, you know, they're not, and the other teammates ain't trying to win. They're out here trying to look good.
I thought about the next team Kevin Love will be on, and I've only got two teams in my head who it could be.
I don't know. It blows my mind, man. Give me one. I'm gonna shoot it down.
The first one's gonna, I think, the Phoenix Suns.
That team needs a facelift. I don't know if they're ready to pull the trigger though. That team does need a little facelift.
And the other one, if you want to take a chance on Love, and maybe he can get back to the player that he was in championship years, and he'll have the team around him that will open it up. Not this year, but if you trade for him before the deadline, you can do it for next season if you sign him for a cheap deal. I can see him being in a Golden State Warriors uniform.
Yes, I can see but the assets to get to Kevin Love, are they willing to move all that for what he brings, for what he can bring? I don't know.
They have a lot of young pieces in Golden State.
They do have a lot of young pieces. And they also have the contract of the point guard, which is a duplicate role. You know what I'm saying? They can move that contract too. I don't want to take that down. Kevin Love in Golden State. I guess, Brandon, somehow we got to get Kevin Love to California so he can end his career, right?
Yeah.
Start his career in the UCLA uniform. We got to get Kevin Love in the California uniform. Right now, he can't get to the Lakers. Right now, the Clippers don't want him. And right now, if Vlade was to trade for him, they'd fire him right after they fire the team coach.
Yeah. All right, John, we've got our college basketball guru joining us now, Nick Peterson. Nick, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, fellas. How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, enjoying some college basketball.
You've got your first two brackets you've sent out now. We've got the bracket release 2.0 recently. How hard has it been, Nick, with the parity this season to kind of put the brackets together and those middle seeds?
Yeah, definitely very difficult. I mean, you know, you get teams that you think are on a roll, and then all of a sudden they lose two or three straight and decide they don't want to be in the tournament, apparently, and you got to knock them down a peg. So, yeah, a lot of transition, a lot of pieces, moving pieces for sure this year.
Okay. Your number one seeds currently right now, who is your four number one seeds?
So, as of right now, I'm going to redo it on Saturday, but as of right now, in order, I've got Duke, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Baylor on the number one line.
Ooh.
And I honestly think you can go ahead and pin in two of those. I think Duke and Gonzaga will be on the number one line, no question about it, mostly because of the conferences that they're playing in. Neither of them are really going to be tested that much. You know, they'll each drop a game or two, you know, probably before their conference tournaments, but nothing more than that. So yep. I think the other two spots might be open, Kansas and Baylor. You know, I certainly don't see two teams from the Big 12 remaining on the one line, so there's going to be at least one spot that'll wind up being available. And, you know, getting to a hometown team, I really think the door's open. I think the Bulldogs could wind up on that one line.
I like it.
I'm telling you, if you look at them, I know it's probably a topic that you were going to get to later, but I'm going to go ahead and jump into it because I'm really high on this football team. You know, the more I watch them, the more I fall in love with them. They're just playing exceptional basketball right now. You know, and I think it's really time that they start getting some national recognition. I don't think anybody really thinks that much of them. But man, I'll tell you what, they're really impressing me. I would stack their resume to date up against anybody's in the country. If you look at the teams that they've played, the teams that they've beaten, their one loss is at Baylor, who again, we just talked about, I've got on the one line at Baylor 1 point, and they very easily could have won that game. So, you know, I, I think they're playing some of the best ball in the country. And on top of that, you know, when you get to March, there's a few things, in my opinion, that are extremely important to have success in March. One of them is elite guard play. You know, I think every time, and a lot of people talk about this, right, guard play does well in March and gets you through the tournament. If you got a guy who can, you know, handle the ball, bring the ball up, make smart decisions, and get into the offense, you're going to have a great chance at winning. Well, I think not only are they the most underrated backcourt in the country, I think they might simply be the best backcourt in the country with Kamar Baldwin and Aaron Thompson. I think both those guys are just extremely high IQ guys, high motor guys, passionate. You know, they just play the game the way the game's supposed to be played, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a couple other things that I think are really important when you get to tourney time, shooting. Well, they got McDermott out there who can shoot lights out, you know, and you know he's, you know, you get those two guards getting him the ball, he's going to be knocking down those jumpers. Defense, they're one of the best defenses in the country. I think Ken Pom has them ranked, what, fifth in the country in defense? And then coaching. So that would be the one question mark, right? You know, we really haven't seen, you know, what the ball can do. I think he's obviously doing a great job so far this year, but when it comes to, you know, crunch time and tourney time, but I have faith in him. I think he's a really good coach, and, you know, I think they just have all the elements to have a really, really successful, you know, rest of the year, and, you know, who knows? I think the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I totally agree. I've really enjoyed this team.
Yeah, me and Brandon got a chance to see them at the Crossroads Classic playing against Purdue. And I don't think they took you kind of allude to what they do. They play defense. They don't take a playoff on defense. They don't.
Right.
And that's what kind of keeps them. That's what keeps them in games and wears the other team out. But they don't. They stay consistent with their defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
absolutely
so frustrating for opposing offense to have to deal with that possession in and possession out. Yep.
Yeah, and Coach Jordan even said in his post game where he was upset at I can't think of the big white guy, number 33 for Butler. Muncie? No, I can't think of his name. Anyways, that he was upset he gave up the field goal to put him over 60 points because they strive to keep their teams below 60.
right, he did say that.
So,
and they do a damn good job at it. I mean, if you look at their scores, I'm looking at it right now, I mean, the most they've given up in a game looks like is 67
mm-hmm.
all season long. I mean, that's damn impressive. They haven't given up 70 all year. So, yeah, I mean, I love watching that style of basketball too, where, you know, offense is more about skill and talent, right? Defense is about effort. You know, I mean, yeah,
right.
You got to be athletic and you got to be able to get to the, you know, in the right positions and whatnot, but it's 90% about effort and desire, and I love watching that. And you know, it's basketball in its purest form, if you ask me.
What, Nick? Is this the only Indiana team we're going to get in the tournament this year?
Oh man, don't say that.
It's starting to look that way, man. I'll tell you what, both Big Ten teams in this state are really a little bit shaky right now. You know, obviously, I was watching that game last night, the Hoosiers, and good Lord, I mean, I thought for sure they were going to lose that, and they really should have lost that. I don't know how they pulled that out of their ass, but,
yeah.
You know, to go into some depth about them, I was just looking at it. All right, here we are, January 9th, right? Hoosiers
mm-hmm.
are sitting at 12-3. Guess what their record was January 9th a year ago?
12-3?
12-3. So, man, am I having flashbacks to last year, especially like, my good Lord. I mean, they're just not playing with any passion. You know, we were just talking Butler and how much passion they play defensively, possession in and possession out. And, you know, I heard Archie Miller talking before the season started how, you know, this could be an elite defensive team and, you know, how great they could be on that side of the ball. And I agree with them. I think they have the talent and, you know, they have the players that could do that, but they don't look like they want to be out there. So, you know, like I said, 90% effort. Well, if you're not going to put in the effort, then, you know, you're going to have 6'2" white boy point guards dunking on you like that kid from Northwestern last night. You know, it's just It's sad because, you know, growing up and in Indiana, you know, that's what IU basketball was. It was much like what we're talking about with Butler this year, and it's just hasn't been that way for a long, long time at this point. So
what I watched last night looked like Northwestern was the better coach team. IU still had the better players, and when push came to shove, they made sure they showed to be the better players. So they made the play. They made the you know, saying a needed defensive rebound, offensive rebound, or a needed steal here or there, and then the guys made shots or guys got to the free throw line. I think this is a solid recruited. This is a solid team that he's put together. I just don't think they kind of complement each other offensively. They don't have a shooter. They don't have a
consistent shooters,
period, I should say. And that's kind of like, so that's kind of like on Archie Miller, did, right? He's the coach. Well, you got to, you know what I'm saying, you can't make them shooters, not overnight. So you kind of got to preach, you got to coach to their strength. Which you would hope would be defense. They should be playing crazy defense out of their mind, and they're not. Offensively, man, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. I really don't. I think they're playing a whole lot of one on one. You know what I mean?
I don't think they got a leader.
No, they don't. And you know what? And I don't want to dominate the conversation because I want Brandon to kind of chime in too. It's kind of wasting Jackson Davis's career here at IU, and I don't really think he's a one and done kind of guy. But it's kind of wasting what kind of player he could totally be, because like Brandon said, they don't have a leader here.
My thing is, I know people who does Indiana Sports Beat down in Bloomington, and I talked to him yesterday on the phone for a little bit, and they said themselves down there that the problem with IU is they talked to Devontae Green at the end of last year, and Devontae said, yeah, you know what, I'm going to be a better leader next year. I'm going to step up. I'm going to be a leader. And Devontae hasn't shown any step up being a leader type.
No, case in point, that Arkansas game, I don't know if you guys watched that, but you know, IU was dominating Arkansas for the majority of that game. For first 30 minutes of that game, they had, you know, what, a 10, 15-point lead, something like that. And what were they doing? They were getting the ball in the block. They were getting it to Jackson Davis and Bronk and company. And Arkansas doesn't play a guy over 6'6". So where's your advantage? Obviously on the block. So they were doing that for 30 minutes. And then for God knows what reason, they stopped getting the ball in there. Now, Arkansas was playing some pretty good defense down the stretch. I'll give them that. But, you know, at some point, you got to figure out a way. You know they're going to start playing, you know, some serious defense. So you got to rise above that and figure it out. And then you got Devontae Green, to your point, at that game. He's out there, you know, again, a 10-point, 12-point lead with 10 minutes to go, whatever it was. And he dribbles the ball up the floor, 25 seconds on the shot clock. He's jacking up a three. It's like, what the hell are you doing? You know, dribble, take some time off the clock. He's throwing no look between the legs, bounce passes from cross court. It's like, dude, you're a senior. You're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be making high IQ plays, and you're out here doing shit like that. So, he's done that his whole career. So he just makes my blood pressure rise every time.
I could tell. Boilermakers and then the road Boilermakers, and case in point, the game against Illinois. Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, I actually thought they were going to win that game. I was confident.
You sent me the
text.
They
were just due for a good game on the road, but good Lord. Yeah. They were, you know, I got their game on right now, and they just flashed it up there. Their points per game difference, home and away, 25 points difference. How is that even possible? You know, you score 25 more points at home than you do on the road. They said the average, you know, for an average team is 11 points difference. So they're more than double that. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Boilermakers at Michigan right now, down 4 at half. I actually took Michigan minus 5 in this game. I think Michigan blows them away here in the second half. The problem is your leading scorer at home, Sasha Savanovic. And, you know, Matt Harms got hurt for a few games there. The Boilers dropped some, and they survived against Minnesota. That was a double overtime game that it was a heart-wrenching to watch. My goodness, that was back and forth the whole time. But, yeah, I don't think the Boilermakers, they may be an 18-12, 19-11 type team. If they get in, I think it's an 11 seed. And Nick, I think – and when I look at your brackets that we post on our website and on bracketmatrix.com, I think you got them too high at those times, you know? Even
yeah,
a couple weeks ago, I sent you that text. I thought they were too high.
Yeah. You know, what a lot of that was based on was their schedule. I mean, they have played an absolutely brutal schedule. I actually think their record, I think what you were just saying is maybe a little too optimistic. I think maybe like a 17-14. You know, if they go 10-10 in the Big Ten, that's where they'll wind up, and I think that's about where I see them winding up. And so, you know, I think they're going to be right there on the bubble when it's all said and done. So,
okay.
You know, they're going to need probably one or maybe two wins in the Big Ten tourney to solidify their resume.
Yeah, I've got two questions for you. Two teams, both go in opposite directions. Number one, North Carolina Tar Heels. We got trouble on Tobacco Road.
Yeah, big time trouble. Yeah, I've got them out of the tourney right now, and I mean, I just don't see that changing. I'm not sure they lost their best player, Cole Anthony.
Yep.
And I'm not sure. I haven't heard any sort of status on when they expect him back. But man, do they need him back? Because they have absolutely tanked. They're sitting at 8-7 now. Lost to Georgia Tech last night. So yeah, I think Old Roy's got a struggle ahead the rest of the way.
Yeah, I took actually Pitt last night plus 5 or money line. I took Pitt plus 5 and money line against Carolina last night. I just the bookmakers were going that route, and I said I just don't trust this Carolina team with how they're doing. And I hate to say it, with me being a Duke fan, but I don't trust the Dukies too much. I really don't. This year, it's been too up and down with this team.
Really?
I
think the one thing for them is their youth and inexperience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what might trump that is the experience of their head coach, who's got a few decades worth of that. So, and just their overall talent. I mean, those guys are, you know, they're still damn good.
How impressed are you with West Virginia so far this year?
Yeah, Huggy Bear's doing a good job, man. They're, you know, you speak of defense, and you know that's another thing that he prides his teams on. And I'm looking, they're ranked number 4 on KenPom in defense. So when you play elite defense like that, you know, look at Virginia last year, right? National title, national championship, and you know they had some offense as well. But you know, when you play elite defense like that, you're just going to be in ball games, and you're going to give yourself a chance to win games.
Mm-hmm. And the last team I have for you, John's been shitting on this team for the last 2 years of doing this radio show, whether it be their football team or their basketball team. But I think we should give some props to the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I watched their game the other night. I was impressed.
Yeah. They got a good team, man. They got some guys that can play. Geo Baker, you know, we talk about having good guard play. He's one hell of a guard. He's got a lot of experience under his belt. And, you know, the guy with the last name of Harper that, you know, his daddy wasn't too bad. So he's got it in his genes.
Right.
I still ship them back to the Big East. They don't belong in the Big Ten. But, yeah, they got a good team.
Is there any players now, like last year, where you it's like – and I to watch, a player to watch as conference that we may not know about or the listeners may not know? Kind of like we had some of those last year.
Yeah, certainly with Ja Morant, right, last year. And you see what he's doing in the NBA this year. That dude's phenomenal. The one guy that I really like this year, he made a splash out in Maui, so I think, you know, he did get some national recognition early, but is Dayton's Obi Toppin. That guy, he's an beast. He's about 6'8", maybe. he's, you know, he's mostly kind of a low block player, but he can really go out and shoot the ball too. And he's athletic. I mean, he's very impressive and very fun to watch. So I look for him to, you know, he'll probably be a lottery pick or so. And I think he can take Dayton pretty far in the tournament too.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Well,
not
Nick,
speaking of Dayton, they've got some transfer guys. I mean, they got a squad. It's not just him. They've got a team. They're good.
Oh yeah. I watched that Maui game against, for them, and they shocked me. I didn't expect them to be that good. So
yeah, I didn't either. It's my
they beat Indiana.
So I got to root for those Flyers.
They'd beat the Hoosiers.
Who?
Dayton.
Dayton? You say they would beat the Hoosiers?
Yeah, would they beat the Hoosiers, Archie?
Oh, hell yeah, they'd beat the Hoosiers. Are you kidding me?
Oh, hey, real quick, getting off with you, it wouldn't be do us justice if we didn't talk Jonathan Birdsong's favorite. Thoughts early as we get the conference play going with the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean, better than last year. That's the way I would put it for them. I still don't think they're sixth out of the top six conferences, certainly in my book. But I do think they've got two quality teams with Oregon and Arizona. And then they've got a few other teams that are, you know, okay, that could make the tourney. I think Washington is way overrated. I really don't get why they were ranked for so long. So I'm just not a huge fan of theirs. But I think Stanford, I think Colorado, I think both those teams are decent. And then, like I said, Arizona and Oregon. But they also have some garbage teams. California is awful. UCLA. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, that's such a brand-name school. And, I mean, you can't even go 500. Like, what's the problem?
Brandon Brantley, get that team 500.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. We've been trying to get our friend of ours, the head coach.
What's that? I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little.
Sorry, I said we were trying to get one of our assistant coaches' buddies at Purdue the job at UCLA. I bet he could at least get him over 500.
There you go. I like it.
You know what?
Yeah.
The good thing about the Pac-12 being weak, I think more Big Ten teams will get in. Me and Brandon kind of thought maybe 8 Big Ten teams would get in.
Yeah, I think 8's probably about the right number. It's funny, if you remember, the first time I hopped on with you guys early in the season, I was bashing the Big Ten. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So I got to eat a little bit of crow on that. I mean, it was too early to be bashing them. They did have some terrible, terrible losses, but that
right.
was, I mean, Northwestern, Nebraska, hey, that doesn't really even count, honestly, this year. So,
right.
And then there were a couple that's in there, but yeah, Big Ten, obviously still a premier, if not the premier conference in the country.
Right. Look at Maryland. Ugh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, buddy. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Be looking on the website. We'll have the bracket out on Saturday or Sunday. So, sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Right. Hey, you bet. See you guys.
See ya.
Take care.
All right, John. That was Nick Peterson with a plethora of great information, as
Man.
Always.
People getting on that Butler train. We was on it first, though, dude.
We were. And Nick was, too. So, to
yeah.
be fair.
Mm-hmm.
National media.
When I say
up.
We, I mean me, you, and E. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
You say the Crossroads Nation. There you go. John, any last things before we get off tonight?
No, man. Hopefully everybody learned a lot. Hopefully everybody, you know what I'm saying, not learned a lot. Hopefully everybody was entertained tonight as well. Me and Brandon like talking sports like nobody's business. So hopefully. Everybody keeps on waiting for the next show next week.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, John.
Crossroads Sports.